We begin another program here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney, Jr. It's my privilege to welcome you today to our program. This program, The More Abundant Life, features the ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. And today we have another interesting and exciting message for you. The title of today's message is, Who's Got the Power? If you want to know about power, where real power comes from, this is the message you will want to stay tuned and listen to today here on our program. This is going to be message number 241 in our series. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how you may obtain an audio copy of the message at the end of our program, so stay tuned for that. But just now, as we get into our program, we're going to have some music, some special music from Wintley Phipps, a song entitled Walk About Zion.
Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. My God said he'd take me higher. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. He saved me from the wind and fire. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Jordan River is chilly and cold. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Chills my body, but not my soul. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord.
That's music from Wintley Phipps entitled Walk About Zion here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. Now our message begins, the message entitled, Who's Got the Power?
Matthew 27, verse 17. The Bible says, So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, Whom do you want me to release for you? Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that it was out of what? Envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, Have nothing to do with that righteous man. For I have suffered much over him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They all said, Let him be crucified. And he said, Why? What evil has he done? And they shouted all the more, Let him be crucified. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word today. My message this morning, Who's Got the Power? Who's Got the Power? Pilate was one of the most interesting, spineless human beings that the scripture speaks about. He was the governor appointed by Rome. He had been awakened from his sleep to deal with this problem of a prisoner called Jesus. As he made his way to the judgment hall, he was annoyed, half asleep. He purposed in his heart to dispose of this matter as quickly as possible. Brothers and sisters, the guilt or innocence of this detainee was not nearly as important to Pilate as the sleep of which he was being deprived. Pilate sat in his chair, lifted his sleepy head to observe this man for whom the Jewish ecclesiastical authorities were demanding a hasty verdict. The priests seemed fretful, anxious. They wanted him summarily tried and punished. They knew Pilate to be weak, vacillating, and indecisive. And as usual, Pilate expected the prisoner to be nervous, apprehensive. But when his eyes locked up with the eyes of Jesus, he couldn't look away. His countenance, the countenance of Christ, was free from panic or alarm. Instead, Pilate saw the most relaxed, serene prisoner he had ever seen in his entire magisterial career. Upon his face was the very signature and endorsement of heaven.
Yes, sir.
Heaven's peace was on his face. Pilate had heard of this Jesus. His wife had often spoken of his humanitarian deeds and exploits. And so right away, Pilate resolved to be careful in this matter. He determined that as tired as he was, he was going to take the time to hear the charges upon which Jesus was arraigned. Who is this man, said Pilate, and why have you brought him to me? What are the charges? What accusations bring ye against this man? Well, those paranoid priests, in one breath, say those two words, paranoid priests. Aware that their case was flimsy, built purely on hearsay, came to Pilate because they believed that this was a judge in their pocket. You see, when you know the judge is going to vote with you, regardless of the evidence, you know what they did. You do what they did. You demand a bench trial and not a jury trial.
That's right.
Those priests didn't want a jury trial for Jesus. They wanted a bench trial. He is a deceiver, said the priests, worthy of death. Is that all you have, said Pilate? What are the charges? The priest did not reply to Pilate's query with any specifics because they knew they were unable to substantiate and validate the charges against Jesus. Well, what could they say? Well, he healed some people. He fed 5,000 from loaves and fishes. He walked on water. He raised people from the dead. What could they say? He turned water into wine. He made a lame man walk. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear. What could they say? What are the charges? Is that all you got? Said Pilate. In their curt reply to Pilate, the priest showed clearly they had no sympathy for Pilate's sudden desire to be fair. So the Lord says, They said, when we bring you a criminal that we deem worthy of death, what right have you to question us about the legitimacy of the charges? Pilate dispensed with these miserable preliminaries. Sign this death warrant. We have already sanctioned and confirmed that he's guilty. Church, Ellen White tells us this was not the first time that the priest had asked for and received a hasty signature authorizing the execution of an innocent man. They had done this before. They knew that to Pilate, the life of a detainee was of modest consequence, not nearly as important as his sleep. And they hadn't factored in the countenance of Jesus, though. Oh, they hadn't factored in what Pilate would see when he gazed upon the face of Christ. Pilate knew that there was something impressive about something in the way he moved. With every glance of his eye, there was an explosion of humility. As Pilate looked at Jesus, he began to hear, can you imagine looking into the face of Christ and echoing in your brain is the voice of conscience saying, be careful.
Be careful.
Woo! Be careful. Looking into the eyes of Christ and your conscience is sounding an alarm, be thorough. Be sensible. Be prudent. Don't be hasty, Pilate. Your soul is hanging in the balance, Pilate. Pilate, you're not listening to me. Looking into the face of Christ and your conscience is saying, you better be meticulous. You better be careful. Your salvation depends upon it. Woo. Finally, Pilate spoke up. Gentlemen of the clergy, if your sentence is sufficient, if your verdict is adequate, why do you need me? What you need me for? Why are you bringing him to me? Judge him according to your law. Well, church, Pilate said to the priest, we passed judgment already, but we need your signature to make our ruling lawful. So what is your sentence, asked Pilate? Death, they said. But it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Only Rome can do that. Pilate, he's guilty. Come on, impose the sentence. We'll take responsibility for his death. Pilate said, now, I know I've looked the other way before. I know I haven't in times past. I haven't asked a lot of questions, but this time it's got to be different.
That's right.
Oh, you listen to me.
Yeah.
It's going to be different. I'm requiring you this time to state clearly the charges. Well, the priest said he's an insurrectionist. He's one who is in opposition to the Roman government. He calls himself a king. And you know there can be no other king but Caesar. But gentlemen of the clergy, this man does not look like he's capable of violence. He does not look like a saboteur. Turning to Jesus, Pilate said, come on, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, you said it. And as Jesus spoke, his face lit up like sunlight. You've said it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See there, said the priest. He didn't deny it. Church, the crowd started shouting, crucify him. Pilate said to Jesus, what have you to say for yourself? Jesus, the servant of the Lord tells us, the Bible tells us, answereth thou nothing, said Pilate. He spoke not a word. Behold, said Pilate, look how all these things that they witness against you. Aren't you going to speak up for yourself? Jesus stood there facing rudeness and abuse with no word of revenge or reprisal. You know, some people when they've been done wrong, any little dig they can get in. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You ever had a boss walk by you and just whisper, "You want your job?"
Yeah.
You want to keep your job?
Well,
Jesus stood there. He didn't even say anything. And his silence spoke volumes. Wait a minute, said Pilate to Jesus. Don't you want to save your life? Church, Pilate then made what he thought was a bold psychological move. So he took Jesus off to the side by himself. He said, let me talk to you privately. Now, between us, tell me, are you the king of the Jews? Listen, I love the way the old English said it. Sayest thou this thing or of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? In other words, said Pilate, is this what you call yourself, or is this what others call you? You said it, said
he.
In other words, when you read the context, Jesus was saying, Pilate, be careful. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But am I a Jew, said Pilate. I know nothing of your religious squabbles. Your own nation, your chief priests, had delivered you unto me. What hast thou done? Pilate, ask them. Don't ask me. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then would my servants fight to deliver me. But art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I'm a king. I say, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and that everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Church Pilate's mind was messed up, baffled, confused. What is truth? Finally, frustrated, Pilate went before the Jews saying, I find no fault in this man. The crowd went crazy. We're going to appeal this to Rome. We're going to take this to the high court, Supreme Court. We're going to take this all the way up. Because he stirred up the people, teaches falsehoods. He's deserving of death. Caesar will hear about us. He'll hear from us about this situation. Well, Pilate got nervous when they started talking about Caesar. Start talking about, I'm going to take this to your supervisor.
My Lord.
So he sent Jesus over to Herod. If you are the Son of God, said Herod, work a miracle. Jesus said, not a word. Well, stay with me this morning. Herod became annoyed by the silence of Jesus. He refused to authorize the conviction, and he sent him back to Pilate. Meanwhile, that night, God sent an angel to Pilate's wife. In a dream, she saw Jesus on trial. She saw him bound like a criminal. She saw Herod and his soldiers pushing him around. She heard the priests and the rulers accusing him. She heard them say, by our law, he ought to die. She saw her husband authorize Jesus to be whipped and scourged, even after he had said, I find no fault in this man. She saw him give Jesus to be crucified, her husband. Are you with me, wives? She saw the cross lifted to Calvary. That angel was working on her mind. She saw the earth wrapped in darkness, heard him cry out, it is finished. In her dream, she saw Jesus coming on a cloudy chariot. She saw him coming in clouds of glory. She saw the earth begin to rock and reel. She saw that all who had crucified him began running from his presence. And so she got up, sat up in bed, demanded a pen, wrote out a memo to the messenger to deliver to Pilate. The messenger ran to the judgment hall, pressed his way through the crowd, put it in Pilate's hand. Pilate opened it up, this memo from his wife. It said, have nothing to do with this righteous man.
Praise God. Amen.
Brothers, God put your wives in your life to help you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And there will be times when your wife will come over to you and say, have nothing to do with that man.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You know I'm right.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you'll say, have nothing to do with that woman.
That's right.
And you better listen. Huh? You're not going to believe what I saw in my dream, Pilate. Have nothing to do with this just man. Whom will ye that I release? Said Pilate, Barabbas or Jesus? Away with him. Release us unto us Barabbas. Why, said Pilate, what evil hath he done? Crucify him. Louder and louder they shouted. The Bible says they then clothed him with purple, plaited a crown of thorns, put it upon his head, began to salute him, spat upon him, bowed down in mockery before him, struck the crown of thorns upon his brow with a reed, forcing the thorns into his temples, and sending the blood trickling down his face and beard. Satan became enraged as he saw that with all the abuse, Jesus never said a word. Satan got mad. Pilate finally said to Jesus, who are you? Who are you? Where have you come from? Angry at his silence, Pilate finally said, so you're not going to speak to me, huh? That's my translation. Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify you? Knowest thou not that I have the power to release you? Oh, well, after all that silence, Jesus finally spoke up, challenged the statement of Pilate. Pilate, I've been patient with you, but you've gone too far. What did you say? You got what? Power? Let's talk about power. Who do you know that can create a universe? You want to talk about power? Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel. I am the first and the last. There is none else. Mine hand hath laid the foundation of the earth. You want to talk about power? Jesus answered Pilate, thou couldest have no power against me except it were given you from above. Jesus was saying, Pilate, the power you have over me, I gave it to you. You want to talk about power? I can't imagine that Pilate must have heard. You're listening to me. Pilate, in that moment, Jesus said, you want to talk about power? In those few words, Pilate was hearing so much more. He was hearing the same kind of thing that God was explaining to Job when he said, if you got your Bible, you can turn to it. Job 38, God was saying, you want to talk about power? Where were you when I created the world? Who decided how large this earth was going to be? How were the foundations of the oceans decided on? Have you ever brought a day into being?
Come on now. Yes, sir.
Have you ever given the morning orders?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You want to talk about power?
Yeah.
Have you ever visited the springs of the seas? Do you know where the ocean comes from? Do you have any idea how big this universe is? You want to talk about power? Have you ever visited the snowstorm? Have you ever seen where the hail comes from? I hold it in my storehouse for wars. I can handle any army you've got with hail. You want to talk about power? One time Napoleon went up to fight Russia. And somebody said to him, every time somebody goes in to fight Russia, they get beaten. Russia must have some powerful generals.
All right.
And one general said, yeah, General January and General February. You want to talk about power?
Yeah.
Can you keep the stars going in the right direction?
Yes, sir.
Can you keep Orion in its place? Can you make a brighter day or a darker night?
Yeah.
Can you pull the stars from their sockets? Roll the clock of time backwards. You want to talk about power? Where were you when the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the deep? The one who gave you power, boundaries cannot contain him. Heights are not above him. Depths are not below him. The march of the ages do not weary him. Time does not age him. You want to talk about power? You got power to release me?
Hello.
Nouns can't capture who he is.
Yeah, now.
Verbs.
verbs can't explain what he can do. Adjectives can't describe him. And you want to talk about power? All nations are subject to him. No power on earth can dethrone him. No king on earth is equal to him. No prince on earth is like him. You want to talk about power? John 19:12. Look at it. After he heard the speech on power, when Jesus said, every bit of power you got, I gave you. The Bible says in John 19:12, and from thenceforth, Pilate tried his best to release him.
Yes, sir.
Woo! And then Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, he took water, washed his hands, said, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. And then verse 25, then answered all the people and said, what? His blood be on us and our children. You know, we live in a world that tells us every day that we've got all the power. You know that song says, you got the power? We're told that we got all the power we need if we just look inside of ourselves. We're told everything we need to face life is available from our storehouse of power. Today, somebody here needs to plug into another source of power. And I came to tell you, Jesus is the only power source.
Well, that concludes our message for today. And it brings us to the end of our program for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and understood it, and that it has been a blessing for you. The message, Who's Got the Power? It's program number 241, message number 241 in our series. You may obtain an audio copy of this message by calling the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Please be sure to request program number 241. Also, if you would like to obtain more information about the music of Wintley Phipps, you may write to us at P.O. Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland. That's Post Office Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland. And the zip is 21045. Well, that brings us to the end of our program. I do hope that you will enjoy the richest blessings that God can give. And I hope that you'll join us again for another program. But until then, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in you.